Father, bless these words. Anoint them, Lord. In Jesus' name. My wife and I had an interesting conversation. And she gave me some actually great seed thoughts. And we're talking about how is it that someone becomes saved? What happens? Like, how do you get saved? What is salvation? What is salvation? How do you get saved? What does it mean, get saved? What does it mean to be born again? And you know, I think we Christians don't really know what it means to be born again. We think we know, but what we often say is contrary to the Word of God. Now, so kind of like, okay, now having set it up in this way, what do you think it means? You get struck by lightning? You get struck by lightning? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be saved? Anybody want to give it a whirl? Like, I won't laugh at you too hard. Anybody? You see, it's kind of interesting because in John 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And that means preached, foretelling of the word. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name's name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart me, ye workers of iniquity. These people thought they were Christians, but they weren't. But they did things in God's name, and they thought they were sincere, and they were for real. And they honestly thought they were Christians and weren't. So what does it mean that I'm born again? Like, they weren't lying to God when they said, didn't we do these wonderful things? God, it's obvious, it's evident. Didn't we do these wonderful things in your name? How can you say we're not saved? Didn't we do all these, like we cast out devils in your name? They actually cast out devils in his name. And he says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Then how do you know you're saved? You see, we're funny. We believers are funny. We use the term born again, but we don't know what it means. And certainly some do. Obviously, people are born again. Obviously, people are saved. People are going to heaven. But what does it mean? I'm born again. Well, you could say it means I'm born from above and all this, but what does that mean? But what I'm trying to get at is what is really the meaning of this? Right? What is it to be born again? And how do you get there? And a lot of us think it's about asking Jesus to be our Savior and to forgive us of our sins and receiving the gift of salvation and all. And yes, that is yes. But what does that mean? Right? What is in fact the decision I have made when I have made the decision to be born again? We talk about being born again. We go out on the street and thank God we do. And I'm grateful for anybody who's willing to, you know, share Christ with another person. That's not what I'm trying to imply here. But, you know, we go out on the street and we, you know, we act like we know what we're saying when we say, "Are you know, do you know if you're going to heaven? Like, let's pray this prayer." And stuff like that. We act like we know what we're saying. But in fact, do we know what we are saying? Because it's really very simple on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a truth I think that generally tends to escape us as believers. What does it mean that I chose to be born again. And what it means is far sweeter than anybody tends to realize, I think, or most people tend to realize. Yeah, Sue?
It's believing, but it's relating. If I'm born, I mean, a child has a relationship with a parent. It's not just and I don't have a relationship with that child until that child is born.
That's good. No, that's good. John 17:3 tells us what it means to be born again. Right? Let's take a look at that for a second. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. Like, what is it that I have decided? And this is what my wife and I were talking about. And I have to tell you, these are like, sometimes she gets like these gems. Right? And they're like these great seed thoughts. Like, I'm going to just have her start writing it down and I'll just read everything because she has these great thoughts. But this is what it means when I decide to be born again. I decide that I'm going to get to know God. Like, that is how I know I have eternal life. I know Him. You see, that term, born again, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? It means that I will get to know God. So in this we know that we have eternal life, that we know Him. And that is born again. I know Him. You see, it is entirely possible for me to believe I am a Christian, for me to walk as a Christian, for me to perform as a Christian, but to not know God. And to not be known by God. You see, the problem with those people who thought they were believers, and they were believers like the devils believe and tremble. But they got in front of the white throne and they said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name?" And they called him Lord, and yet he did not know them, because the lordship that they had was a natural lordship and a religious performance, rather than the knowledge of an intimate relationship with the Savior. You see, it's like you said, they never related. They never knew Him. And He didn't know them. And this is eternal life, that I know Him. Now, why do things take place in my life? Like we were talking earlier, right? Why do things happen? Because it is the way that I get to know God. You see, the whole thing, it's like my friend Tony said when he was dying and our pastor came to visit him and he had cancer in his bones, which is unbelievably painful. I asked Tony to describe what it felt like one time. He said, imagine that your fingers are slammed in the car door and multiplied by 10. I can't imagine that. But our pastor came to visit him one time. And he asked him, Tony, how are you doing? And Tony said, I'm getting to know God in this situation. Like, do we think about that much? That in the things that come our way, in the things that happen, in the difficulties and the trials, as well as the good times, as well as the times that we are, you know, God is lifting us up and blessing us. Do we think about this, that I'm getting to know God in this situation? You see, because the situation has been sent so that I can know a side of God that I did not know before. So that God can be faithful to me in a way that He was not faithful to me before. Because I never had the opportunity to experience His faithfulness there before. You see, it doesn't really matter what happens. Because in this I know that I have eternal life, that I know Him. So in everything that comes, I get to know Him. So what happens? Well, like we said earlier, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, and I will keep my ways before Him, and He will deliver me. I can't do that if I don't know Him. It's not possible. But if I know Him, if I know who He is, then I know I have eternal life. But it's all about getting to know Him. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal, true God and eternal life." This is it right here. True God, I mean, the true God and eternal life in my life is that I may know Him that is true. I cannot say I have eternal life unless I know God. But how do I know that I know God? Right? I mean, I can't know that I have eternal life unless I know Him. And how do I know that I know Him? You see, this is a little bit of a problem. Well, the first John, in 1 John in chapter 2, and in verse 3, the Word of God says, "In hereby do we know that we know Him." Okay, so I know I have eternal life if I know Him, and this is how I know that I know Him. "And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His Word." And it's not talking about commandments as in the Ten Commandments. It is talking about the Great Commandment. "And this is the law fulfilled, that you love one another." So how do I know that I know God? Because I love my brethren, my brother. You see, that I keep His commandments, and in this is the law fulfilled, that I love my brother. You see, if I don't have love for my brother, then not only am I not a disciple, the truth isn't in me. And if the truth isn't in me, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if I don't love my brother, am I actually saved? Well, maybe I am, and I'm simply growing, but how can I really know? Now, keeping His commandments is really talking about the maturation of a person's faith. And not, again, the Ten Commandments, but the Great Commandment. Now, "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." That's matured. "Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." That's pretty powerful stuff. You see, am I actually saved if I'm not walking as He walked? Well, the Word of God says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also walk as He walked." So let's abide in Him. Let's walk as He walked. And then he continues, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning." That the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now." Like, this is 1 John. This is the Bible. I can just hear it now. Somebody's going to say, click. I said, no, the Bible said. The Bible said. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. And in verse 10 it says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness had blindeth his eyes. In Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of the light. The word children, I like the word that it means the offspring of the light. Walk as that which is begotten by the light. You see, it is entirely possible for me to believe I am a Christian and not walk in light. And so maybe I am a Christian and in a short season I fail and I walk in darkness. But as a lifestyle, walk in the light. You were the children of darkness. Walk in the light. And what is it to walk in the light? Well, in Psalm 119, 130, the Word of God says, the entrance of thy words is light. So how do I walk in the light? I walk in the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I breathe the Word of God. I eat the Word of God. You see, this is why we have wraps. Not because it is better than anybody else. It's because we love the Word of God. Why? Because it is walking in the light. The entrance of God's words is light. And as light shines, it shines. In Psalm 119, 133, the psalmist says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. How do I keep away from iniquity, Satan's sin? Order my steps with thy word. See, what is iniquity? What does it really mean? Right? We've talked about this before. It's an emotional rebellion against God that leads to an action where you accuse God. That is iniquity. Order my steps according to my word. Let not iniquity rule over me. See, if the word of God is producing light in my heart, then I will keep away from those sins of pride. God hates those sins. It's a proud look that God hates the worst. Did you know there are some things that God hates? We don't think of that. Did you know there are some people that God hates? We don't think of that either, but he hated Esau. Right? The Bible says God hated Esau and loved Jacob. Why did God hate Esau? Because Esau esteemed God lightly. He did not value the role of God in his life. And God hated him for it. There are some things got a proud look. You know what else? A false witness. That is another person that God hates, is a false witness. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue God hates. But I think it's interesting that it starts with a proud look. Why? Because that was Satan's sin. That's where it started in eternity past. That's why the angels cannot become saved. Because God in His foreknowledge knew that they would not. They did not know Him and they would not know Him. You see, there are things that God loves and there are things that God hates. I think we believers are a little bit funny sometimes. We tell each other you should never hate. And in a manner of speaking, yes, in one sense that is true. We should never hate because it will consume us. We don't want that to consume us. But on the other hand, like God hated some things, why don't I always Like, do we hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves? Well, we need to learn to do so. God loved the woman at the well. And He walked 20 miles to meet her there. And He timed it just so, right? I mean, a 20-mile walk to meet her within a 5-minute span. Boy, did He love her. Think about it. Can you imagine the preparation in eternity for Him to meet that woman? So that the timing would be just so that she would be at that well, and He would get there exactly at the same time from walking 20 miles away. How long does it take to walk 20 miles if you're a healthy man? I don't know, maybe 4 hours? 5 hours? And that's assuming He didn't stop on the way? And it's not flat territory, thank you. It's rough terrain, right? But He prepared, He loved her. The woman who was living had like fifth man now. She's had sixth. She had 5 husbands, and the one she was with now was not her husband. He loved her. He didn't love the Pharisees. Oh yes, He loved them enough to die for them. In that sense He loved them. But He didn't love them. He hated them. He called them snakes and vipers and the children of hell. Right? Their father was the devil. And He told them so. That was not a sweet, gentle, loving attitude. But it is interesting that He says, by this you will know that you are My disciples, that you love one another. Why? Because how do I get to do that? Because the entrance of God's Word gives life. You see, what is that life that it gives to me? It is the love of God. It is the Spirit of God. This is unfortunately, and it happens so often, but thank God for those places that it doesn't happen in, but it happens in so often that believers do not love one another, and the reason why they do not love one another is because there is no entrance of God's words. You see, if the Word of God is permeating my heart, then I cannot help but to love my brother. That doesn't mean I'm going to be sentimental and sappy with them, but I will love them. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. But in verse 13, actually let's go all the way back to verse 11. Let's just make this fun. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my sake. Excuse me, blessed are you. Thank you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. What is it when the salt loses its savor? There is no life there. There is no light there. There is no word there. And oh, I imagine there may be some, not here, but some who don't like this. There is no soul winning there. Because the heart of God is gone. Well, it's funny how we like the Great Commandment, but we don't like the Great Commission. how we pick and choose what parts of the scriptures we will live by and what parts we think we can ignore. And yet God says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet God's word will never pass away, but we can pick and choose like it'll pass away, like it already has. We can't do that. And in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And good works, by the way, are works that are the result of faith. Right? What shall we do that we may do the works of God? Believe in Him that He has sent. So let your faith be a testimony. And in 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 8, and we'll repeat this again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness has passed and the true light now shineth. Well, how does the true light shine? Because it's in the Word of God, the entrance of God's words. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path in Psalm 119:105. It's about God's Word. So how do I know that I know Him? Because I love His Word. If I love His Word, then I love Him because the Word became flesh. And I cannot love someone I do not know. You see, I think as believers we have to be a little bit careful when we say, I'm born again. I mean, I pray that we all are, and I'm sure we all are. I don't doubt that. But my point is, what is it in fact that I'm claiming if I'm claiming I am born again? Well, I'm claiming that I know Him. Do you really know Him? You see, if I say I love God and hate my brother, I don't know Him. The truth is not in me. I don't know Him. How many believers can say they love their brother? Do they know Him? And I'm sure many can. And I'm sure many can in many different denominations. And some of them are evangelicals and some of them are not, but they still love God. And they know Him. You know what makes me weary? And we've talked about this before, and it makes me a little bit weary and it makes me a little bit grieved when evangelicals attack Catholics. I don't like that. As though they were not loved by God. As though they could not know Him. That's an arrogant spirit. Or when they attack the Pope, I don't agree with their doctrines, but they're allowed to have a head pastor just like everybody else is. And if they have an international ministry, let them have their international ministry. If he's the head pastor of that ministry, let him be the head pastor of that ministry. Do I believe in apostolic succession? No, of course not. But you know what? Who cares? Many of those people are sweet and they love God. Many of those people love other people the way that God loves those people. They're disciples. I was reading today as I was waiting at the doctor's office. There was a magazine article, Does God Want You to Be Rich? And they were talking about some well-known preachers. And some of them said, yes, God wants you to be rich. Who would want to come to a God who wants them to be poor? And some of the others would say, oh, this is heresy. You know, this is nonsense. But you know what I noticed? There wasn't much talk about the love of God. there wasn't much talk about love one another. There was plenty of argument and there was plenty of debate. And there was plenty of disagreement, and certainly people are allowed to disagree, entitled to that. But there wasn't a whole lot of love. And when that was being said to a reporter from a worldly magazine that people in the world, the unsaved, read, and what they're reading is a lack of love, why would they ever want to come to God? I'm sure those people love God that were interviewed. That's not my point here. But why don't they just love one another? You see, unless I love my brother, do I really love God? The Bible says I do not. And unless I love God, do I actually know God? You see, I can't say I love God and hate my brother, because then the truth isn't in me. It's not possible. So how do I know that I'm born again? Because I know Him. And how do I know that I know Him? Because His Word lives in me, and it provides His love. It produces His love in me. And that's how I know I'm born again. Amen?